Welcome to the Stations of the Cross. Whether you have engaged the stations before, or this is your first time, we pray that you will experience Jesus' presence as you join him in his journey to making the ultimate sacrifice for God's greatest treasure, you and me. This audio companion is meant to provide you a guide as you walk through the events of those 24 hours from the upper room to the garden tomb. The Stations of the Cross provide for us a unique opportunity to enter the biblical story of Jesus' immense surrender to God's will. As you enter the area, take a few minutes to meditate on, that is, read slowly, think deeply, and consider prayerfully each of the passages of Scripture that detail Jesus' journey to the cross and eventual burial. Then, we welcome you to join in praying the crafted prayer provided. This ancient practice was developed in Jerusalem as early as the 14th century to help followers of Jesus make a spiritual pilgrimage through the most notable scenes of Jesus Christ's sufferings and death. The Stations of the Cross are meant to connect us with the loss the disciples must have felt on Friday and Saturday before the joyous surprise of resurrection on Sunday morning. It also highlights the agony Jesus experienced as he bore the weight of the penalty of sin. The grace that absolves us of our guilt was not cheap. It cost the lifeblood of God himself in the person of Jesus. We are now about to begin our journey. As we move to the first station, we have joined Jesus and his disciples in leaving the upper room in Jerusalem. They have just shared the traditional Passover meal together, but their rabbi made this meal different in several ways, giving them a new way to take the bread and cup to remember him, and shocking them all by getting a basin and towel to wash their feet. After the meal, Jesus leads us to a garden called Gethsemane. You may now pause the audio until you have come to Station 1. Station 1, Jesus is tempted. Matthew 26, 38, and 39. Then Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus is already in profound distress. Though he has yet to face betrayal or physical harm, he endures immense suffering in both body and spirit, already bearing the burdens of the world upon his shoulders. Gethsemane, derived from the term olive press, symbolizes a place of extraction, not destruction. Here, Jesus undergoes the most intense pressure any human has ever experienced, even to the point of sweating blood. Fully aware of the trials ahead, he prays for the removal of his impending suffering. Yet despite his fervent pleas, Jesus ultimately surrenders to his Father's divine will. And through his unanswered prayer, humanity finds salvation. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you were tempted in all the ways we are, yet you never sinned. Give me grace in the face of my temptations to choose you and to obey the conviction of your spirit. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Amen. Take all the time you desire here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 2. Station 2, Jesus is betrayed. Matthew 26, 48 through 50. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Swords and clubs serve as tools of power, force, and coercion. They are the implements wielded by the chief priests, scribes, and elders in their attempt to apprehend Jesus. Peter also employs them in an effort to defend Jesus. Yet ultimately, those efforts prove futile. Amidst the physical confrontation, the most devastating act is the betrayal by Judas. This betrayal cuts deeply, affecting even Jesus, the only one who foresaw it. Fully human, Jesus experiences the pain of having a friend and colleague stab him in the back, all delivered with a smile and a kiss, while his companions scatter in fear. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you know what it's like to be betrayed. Help me as you did. Forgive those who have betrayed me, wronged me, and or hurt me in some way. Help me not to harbor bitterness or take vengeance into my own hands, but to leave room for the vengeance of God. Amen. Take all the time you desire here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at station 3. Station 3, Jesus is condemned. Luke 23:20-25. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. For Jesus had not come to defend himself against false accusations, but to defend us. When placed under oath, Jesus testified truthfully of his identity as the Christ, the Son of God, who will return for judgment on the last day. However, during his initial coming, he submitted himself to judgment to offer deliverance from ultimate condemnation to all who seek refuge in him. Look to Jesus before his accusers. He came here in the full knowledge that those who had earlier hailed his coming into Jerusalem with palm branches and shouts of joy would change their tune from the praise of "Hosanna" to the denunciations of "Crucify him." Hear your own voice among the crowd. See the pain in his eyes. Listen among the rising cries of the mob to the silence. It is the sound of his defense of himself. Let's pray. I recognize that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, but that you, Jesus, were condemned in my place. Because I am in you, I am no longer condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and I rejoice in this today. I repent for where I have agreed with the condemnation of the enemy, instead of responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which leads to change and is marked by hope. Amen. Take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at station 4. Station 4. Jesus is mocked. Matthew 27, 27 through 30. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. Condemned by Pilate, Jesus' punishment begins. Soldiers take Jesus to the praetorium, where they bind him to a column, securing his hands over his head, exposing his back. They proceed to lash him with a three-pronged, lead-tipped whip for 40 lashes. They intend to weaken him physically for his crucifixion. They slap his face. They mock him, calling him the King of the Jews. What the soldiers said in jest was actually the truth. Jesus was King of the Jews, but for the Romans, he was a criminal to be disposed of, and he was not merely an annoyance to them, he was ludicrous. And so the Son of God and the Son of Man is punished, his face smeared in blood, his name smeared in the mud under the soldiers' feet. Look into our Savior's eyes as he willingly takes what we deserve. Let us pray. Jesus, you understand what it is like to be mocked, scorned. Forgive me for all the times I have accused you myself. Help me to bless those who curse me the way you did. Amen. Take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 5. Station 5. Jesus is given his cross. Matthew 27:31. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. No one knows the exact weight of the cross Jesus was forced to carry, but we know that it likely was at least the same as his own body weight, even more likely than it was over 200 pounds. But the weight he endured was much greater. He bore the weight of all the sin of creation. Jesus carried the weight of the world and the fate of humanity on his back. Watch as Jesus heaves his cross to his shoulder, the skin torn apart by the Roman torture whips. Watch as he struggles to take the first step in carrying it down the Via Dolorosa, a winding route to the place where he will be nailed to his cross and lifted up for all to see. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the cross. It was mine to bear, but you took my place. You were innocent, and yet you chose to receive the punishment in yourself that was mine because of my rebellion against you. Now, help me to take up my cross today and follow in your footsteps by dying to myself and living to Christ. Amen. Take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 6. Station 6, Jesus falls. John 12:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. As Jesus takes a step with the cross on his shoulder, the crowd is swollen into a multitude, and the soldiers can barely contain the angry mob as it flows through the streets and alleyways of Jerusalem. His body is beyond worn out. He has no physical strength remaining for this. But he is not given the option, and he knows he must continue on. Still, his footing is weak, and he staggers under the weight. He falls to the ground, exhausted. Can you see his head hit the ground as the full weight of the cross falls on his body in the dust? He is taking the fall for us. Let us pray. Jesus, I know you labored under the weight of your cross. You know what it is like to be burdened. And you invite me to cast all my anxieties on you because you care for me. You daily bear my burden. I choose today to give you my burdens. Amen. Take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 7. Station 7, Simon carries Jesus' cross, Luke 23:26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Jesus, having endured so much physical abuse, can no longer carry his cross any further. The lack of sleep, the loss of blood, and the weight of the world's sin caused him to falter again beneath the burden of the cross. As he stumbles and falls, the wooden beams of the cross press him to the ground. The Roman soldiers see Simon of Cyrene entering through the lion's gate. "You," they exclaim, "help this man." Gaping at their spears and swords, he knows he has no choice. Simon reluctantly bends to help. He lifts the cross to his back, staring intently into the face before him, crown of thorns pressed into his forehead, rivulets of blood running down a swollen face. Simon must have wondered, "What if they confuse me with him once we get to the hill? What if they crucify me?" But there's no time left for Simon, and there's no patience from his captors. He stands and takes up the cross and follows Jesus to the hill where he will be crucified. Let us pray. Jesus, in your humanity, someone else had to bear your cross for a little while. Help me to receive help, even as I seek to bear others' burdens as well. Thank you for my family and friends. Thank you for the body of Christ and for showing me grace and offering me help through those around me. Amen. Take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 8. Station 8, Jesus is stripped. John 19:23-24. They took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. Jesus had been beaten almost to death. He did not even have the strength to carry his own cross down the road and up the hill. Now at the place where he will be crucified, he can no longer stand. But before Jesus is nailed to the cross, he is stripped of his last earthly possession, his clothing. In this Jewish and Roman society, much like our society, clothing is much more than just a piece of cloth. It is a necessary part of our world. And to take one's clothing away means more than to merely rob one of their possessions. This was a deliberate act to take away Jesus' social status. Through taking away his clothing, the guard stripped Jesus of his human dignity. Why would they do this? To put the so-called criminal in his place, and also for money. The guards cast lots to see which of them would be able to take home the garment to sell it for their own financial gain. In his gospel, John describes the garment taken from Jesus. It likely would have had great value. Jesus is naked on the hill. This is where most of us feel a need to turn our eyes from the Savior. But he bids us to join his mother and his beloved disciple in staying with him in his hour of humiliation. Look upon the majestic King of the universe. He has been degraded to a nobody among these people, now only fit to be exterminated. Let us pray. Jesus, you know what it's like to be humiliated, exposed. I bring to you my own places of shame and embarrassment. Thank you for covering me in my shame, that your grace is sufficient to both forgive and cleanse me of my guilt. Amen. Please take your time here at this station and move on to the next station whenever you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at Station 9. Station 9. Jesus is nailed to the cross. Mark 15:25-27. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. The time has finally come. The Roman soldiers splayed Jesus' arms across the beam. They positioned his wrists, holding them down. They grab his legs, crooking them just so, ensuring he cannot easily boost himself for even a single breath. Watch as Jesus absorbs the nails in his hands and feet with cries of torture and agony, but without complaint. He is fulfilling Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. He does not deserve these lashes, but we do. He does not deserve the nails, but we do. In all this flogging and mocking and nailing and hating, can you see a picture of how foul our sins are to God? The punishment for our rebellion, Jesus, an innocent man, is taking upon his own body. Look into his eyes now. Even as blood streams down his face, he is looking with love and forgiveness into yours. Let us pray. Jesus, I pause to reflect on the horror and the beauty of the cross. The horror in that you unjustly suffered unspeakable torment. Beauty in that you chose it freely and absolved the sins of the world in that selfless act. Remake me in your image. Selfless, humble, obedient. Thank you for the cross. Amen. Please take all the time you need here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at station 10. Station 10. Jesus dies. Luke 23:44-48. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. The final words of Jesus are confident words of faith and trust spoken through cracked lips. Even now, at the end of his life, Jesus speaks from Psalm 31, words of his forefather, King David. The darkness that covered the land at midday was a global representation of the darkness of judgment that Jesus was enduring. Yet even here, he expresses assurance in God's love and faithfulness. Jesus breathes his last breath. His heart stops beating. He is dead. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, that the veil that separated man and God was torn in two when you died. And now I can come confidently to your throne of grace to find help in my time of need. You have bridged the separation between me and God through your death. You have brought me to your table. Thank you, God. Amen. Please take your time here at this station and move on to the next station when you're ready. You may now pause the audio until you have arrived at station 11. Station 11, Jesus is buried. Luke 23:52-53. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin, a man from the very group that had condemned the Messiah to death, asks for his body, so that Jesus might be given an honorable burial and not be left for the vultures. Jesus' lifeless body is laid in a new tomb made out of rock. His mother and the women who have followed him throughout his ministry want to bring the traditional oils and spices to anoint his body for burial, but they have run out of time. The Jewish Sabbath is upon them, and they must go home and wait to honor God. They will need to wait until Sunday morning to come again to the garden. Let us pray. You were humble to the uttermost when you were laid and whole in the earth. The God who breathed the cosmos into existence, buried in a borrowed tomb. But just as you came out of Mary's womb to bring light to the nations, you will come out of the womb of the earth to bring salvation to anyone who comes to you by faith. And I choose to come to you by faith again today. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. Amen. Take all the time you desire here at this station. We will have some final guidance for you before you exit. You may now pause the audio until you are ready to begin your transition out of the Stations of the Cross. You have reached the end of our Stations of the Cross. As you leave the tomb in the garden now to re-enter your daily routines, let your soul join Jesus' disciples in a time of waiting. Waiting on God. Waiting for Him to fulfill His promises. We pray you will continue to draw near to Jesus, hour by hour, until we gather as one body again on Sunday. Until then, we encourage you to join Jesus' people in meditation and reflection upon Jesus' sacrifice. Lean into being present before the Lord. Place your own agenda at His feet. Come before Him to simply be with Him. Be still. Pay attention. And most of all, listen to God and pour out your heart to Him. May God bless you as you move from this moment to the next. You have now reached the end of this audio.